Cutting Through the Spin, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Just listening to that advert there about, I think it was about the deposit return scheme. And Aldi, just by coincidence, just released a press release. In Donegal, 1 million items have been returned to their 6 stores in Donegal. €173,000 has been returned to customers. They put the money, they've already paid it in anyway. So June was the most successful month to date for the deposit return scheme at Aldi. Shoppers across Ireland collectively returned 6.7 million items. In Donegal, shoppers returned more than 425,000 items in June. So it's over 1 million now of items returned. So it's kind of interesting too, because just in our wee county and only in Aldi, 1 million plastic bottles or cans, metal cans, it's quite impressive, isn't it? I'm sure that has to have an impact on littering and how else we dispose of rubbish. I'm not saying I'm necessarily in favour of the scheme, because I think it disadvantages those who were good recyclers in the first place. But since it started in Aldi alone, that's 6 stores, 1 million plastic bottles. I mean, can you imagine that pile of plastic bottles and cans and what have you? It is quite impressive. And €173,000 in the tax has been redeemed back again. All right, I just thought that an interesting figure I'd share with you. Greg, I was listening to your caller about searching for a home to rent. My friend let out his house and was left with an ESB bill of over €2,000 in months of unpaid rent. After many repeated attempts to get them out and notices they were not moving, so we simply entered and changed the locks then. The landlord ended up in court and it's still ongoing. Repairing the inside and kitchen has cost £5,000. It's left him very wary of renting again. I know they have spoken to their family about just selling. Who wants to be renting a house these days? There's nothing to favour the landlord. Even the word landlord makes people sound like business people, when in fact many are just people who bought a house instead of a pension. It's very easy to get renters, but it's very difficult to get them out. I have heard that before, I'm not going to lie. Is that woman for real? Is the quality of food the best she can come up with? They need a structure in place, because there is no structure in place in the ED. I sat for nearly 17 hours in the ED with my 83-year-old mum, 20th of March 2023. She was left sitting on a hard chair for all of that time. I had a 75-year-old man to the left of me who had problems with his heart. In the end, I was so fed up, I went to the area where doctors and nurses worked from, and I lost the plot. 40 minutes later, they opened a ward, so mum and others were brought to it. Unfortunately, that man was still sitting on a hard chair as I left for home. It was an absolute disgrace. The nursing staff seemed to worry about the patients, but doctors are not bothered from what I've seen. They are only there 6 months and then away. That's not the real experience I've heard, but that's that listener's experience. I just feel a survey that starts talking about, you know, how polite were the staff and what was the food like doesn't really, I mean, that'll come out in September, and, you know, Letterkenny normally does quite well, but it doesn't tell the full picture. It only tells part of the picture, but an important part of the picture as well. A listener says, IS645 engineers are trained by the Department of Housing. When we joined the scheme, engineers who were trained are on the website. We had to pick an engineer from that list. IS645 came from the National Standards Association of Ireland and the Department of Housing. We had no choice for which engineer we picked. These engineers are forced to go with what the Attorney General says, and now they're questioning the engineers. There is some dispute whether the AG's advice was taken on board, but I take your point. Hi, Greg. Why not try and get any of our elected TDs to come on this morning and let us know what they are doing regarding our mica plight today? I'm enraged. I honestly think we need to go back to Dublin in our thousands and bring it to a standstill. Why are we second-class citizens here in Donegal? This is horrendous. My stomach gets sick every day when I think on my house crumbling down around me. Another, it's no wonder all the young people are leaving the country listening to this mica problem. Our government doesn't care one bit about its people. Sure, young people can't even get a car insurance. This country is just unlivable at this stage. Thank you. And listeners referring it to mica, and those are people who actually have defective concrete blocks. I do appreciate there are some that would prefer we don't focus on the word mica. But listen, if that person is sick to the stomach every day of their house crumbling around them and they want to call it mica, well, I'll go with mica for them. Another, the defective block scandal is going to be one of the biggest in the state, down to the extreme malfeasance of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens. Yet the first words from your guest yesterday was how hard an ex-minister was working regarding a solution. Too little, too late for me. Also, who is the chair of the defective block committee? A Fianna Fáil councillor The fox in charge of the house, the hen house, wake up people. I'm not sure that's how many people characterise the chair. By the way, the Attorney General's leak didn't get national coverage it deserved. Simon Harris brushed over it on Friday. His answer to you was wishy-washy. The one thing, the thing that's really important is some, like, when you ask a politician or anyone for that matter a question, you're not always going to be satisfied with the answer. But if you believe the answer was wishy-washy, then the question itself made sense. Does that make sense? In other words, we're not always necessarily pleased with the answers that we're given or the clarity, but in a sense, that answer is an answer in and of itself, and you can form an opinion from that. I spoke to a builder recently who said he refused to do the build with the homeowner, which the homeowner was granted, because it was only a part build. His concern was, as the builder, he'd be liable in about 10 years, and I can understand how he'd feel that way, or she would feel that way. He'd be liable in about 10 years for the rebuild, which he knew would not stand up. The biggest issues with these part rebuilds is homeowners are going to find it impossible to get anyone to do them. That's a concern I have. Look, at, let's say, for instance, I'm a builder and there's a option 3 or 4 rebuild. The roof stays on. The eternal world's walls stay on. I have to fanny about with outside and inside walls and all that kind of stuff. Or I can go up the road and there's a derelict property that's just got its grant and I can go in, build onto what's there, bang a roof on, away onto the next job. Which one am I choosing? You know, now I understand there's builders that specialise in different things, but the more complicated the build, I would probably choose the path of least resistance. I'm in the hardworking downgraded group, says Adele, with these amazing people. Thank you, ladies, for your advice, kindness and support the last couple of months. Best wishes. Oshin says, are the housing agency contracting the same chartered engineers who gave initial reports for option one to then inspect the same property that they already know inside out? No pun intended. No pun. I get you. This caller says, we're pensioners. We have bison slabs in our two-story house. Builders won't come in. As if the bison slab breaks, we are in big trouble. We even made an appeal for €1,000. It's cheaper to demolish the house than to keep the walls. Does anyone else have bison slabs? A lot of people have bison slabs. So if you want to get in touch with us on that, let us know. We have many, many, many more messages coming in on many different issues and on the issue we've been talking about there. But we're going to take a break because we're going to be coming back with Community Garda information. So please stay tuned for that.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. It is time for Community Garda information on this Tuesday, the 16th of July. And in studio with me today is Garda Claire Rafferty of the Milford Garda Station. Claire, thanks so much for calling over to us. Lovely to have you with us.
Morning, Craig.
Right, let's start with a couple of burglaries in Bundoran, actually. And the first occurred somewhere between the 8th and 9th. Of this month.
Yeah, so the Gardaí in Bundoran are investigating this burglary that occurred in the area of West End, Bundoran, and it was between 11 p.m. Last Monday night, the 8th of July, and 7 a.m. on Tuesday morning, the 9th of July. So there was damage caused to the window at the front of the property, and entry was gained. A sum of cash was stolen from a handbag within the house, and the key to the back door was also stolen. So this is a case where someone woke up the next morning and noticed that this had happened overnight.
So they were in the property?
Yes.
Right, that's worrying.
So we appeal to anyone who may have observed suspicious activity in that area overnight between Monday night, Tuesday morning, to make contact with the Gardaí in Ballyshannon. And their phone number is 071-985-8530.
Yeah, and it's kind of it's a good one to mention because there's a lot of people from our catchment area be down holidaying or visiting Bundoran, so it hopefully catches some eyes amongst them as well. A second burglary, not the same property but the same area.
Yeah, it's very similar again. So this one's been investigated that occurred in West End Bundoran. And it was in the early hours of Thursday, the 11th of July. So essentially Wednesday night, Thursday morning between midnight and 8 a.m. A rear bathroom window was forced open and entry was gained. A purse was stolen from a coat pocket within the house. Within the purse, there was gift cards, bank cards, driving licence and a sum of cash. So we're asking if anyone can assist with information to make contact with Gardaí in Ballyshannon again on 071-985-8530. And as always, the Garda confidential line may be reached on 1-800-666-111 in relation to these two appeals or any of our appeals today.
And do we know in the second instant if that house was occupied as well?
Yes, I believe so.
Right, okay. I think some they're called creeper burglaries in some parlours. We don't see them too often, has to be said.
No, but it is worrying, you know. Yeah. People want to feel safe going to bed at night. So just always take that extra time before going to bed to make sure everything you can secure is secure.
Okay. I can understand but people don't necessarily set their alarms when they're in the house if they have alarms. So maybe that's something people could think about. Okay, that's down in Bundoran, those two burglaries over the 8th and 9th in the first instance and on the 11th in the second. We'll move north to Muff now and criminal damage, Claire.
Yeah, so we're appealing for the assistance of the public in relation to an incident of criminal damage that occurred at a property on the Ocht Road Tour Muff last Tuesday, the 9th of July, between 10:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. One of the front windows of this property was smashed between those times. Now, no entry was gained to this house, thankfully, but we want to appeal to anyone who may have observed suspicious activity in that area last Tuesday to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana, and their phone number is 074-932-0540.
Yeah, criminal damage also being investigated in Castlefin.
Yeah, this one occurred on Thursday the 11th of July between 7:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. at Emmett Park, Castlefin. A car that was parked at that location between 7:30 and 8 had its windscreen smashed. Both wing mirrors were pulled off and damage was caused to the badge at the front grille off the vehicle. So we appealed to anyone who may have seen anyone do this or anyone who was in the area of Emmett Park, the Rafal Road in Castlefin, or on the N15 through Castlefin, who may have had dash cam footage between those times, and to make the footage available to us.
Yeah, and it might be easy to forget that we are in summertime. So that happened in broad daylight and sounds like it was prolonged to some extent. So someone should have seen something and pass on that information to Gardaí. Now, a road traffic collision occurred just outside Donegal Town, and Gardaí looking for info.
Yeah, so this was a road traffic collision between two vehicles that occurred on the N15 at Clare, Donegal Town. So it wasn't far past Clare Chapel on the Balbafay side. This happened on Thursday, the 11th of July, and the time I have for it here is 6:12 p.m. The driver and passenger from one of the vehicles was taken to hospital to receive medical treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. So both these vehicles happened to be travelling from Donegal Town towards Balbafay at the time of the collision. So if anyone travelled on that route with a dash cam around that time, we asked them to make the footage available to us. And again, if anyone actually witnessed the collision, your advice can be very helpful. So we ask you to contact Ballyshannon Garda Station, 071-985-8530.
And this is completely unrelated to this incident, but just for those who may not be aware, as you come out from Clare, there is a turn right just a little bit past that area, and it's a very popular turn. A lot of people go in there, and almost all the time I'm coming past Clare, there will be a car turning right, but it's also an area whereby, you know, people might see overtaking opportunities. This is nothing to do with that, but always good to just hold back there until you get past that turn off. As I say, nothing to do with this collision here, which was, I think, a bit further down, actually, to be truthful. Right, okay. This is important as well, too, to get updates on stuff, Claire, because often it's not possible because, you know, these appeals and other Garda work do work. People are apprehended all the time, but obviously they have to go before the courts and there's processes to be followed. So we don't always get the updates that we would like. But in this case, you do have some information for us.
Yeah, so look, we want to acknowledge that we get a lot of help from people, and that's why we're on this show. So we like to give updates. So just we have arrested a man yesterday in connection with a number of burglaries that occurred on church properties in the Twin Town area on the 13th and 14th of July. This man was interviewed and has been charged to appear at court. So we continue to appeal to the public to be vigilant. We've made a lot of appeals lately in relation to this type of incident, and we still ask you to report any suspicious activity around churches or church grounds to Gardaí immediately. We really always do appreciate any information provided by the public, as it often assists our investigations greatly.
Yeah, and we really need to have a focus on that, because obviously we don't want a situation, firstly, whereby it's very hurtful when, you know, community facilities and churches like this are targeted. But we also don't want them locked up or necessarily drowned in CCTV. So we, to some extent, have to be the eyes and ears of the churches and church grounds and donation boxes and all that kind of stuff that we have seen targeted quite a lot lately. Right, OK. Frontline Services Day. What's this all about, Claire?
So this is taking place on Saturday week, the 27th of July 2024 at the Mary from Dunloe Festival. And it is on between 11am and 3pm on that Saturday. So the RSA Interactive Unit, which is a shuttle, will be there. It provides fantastic opportunity for people to practice their driving and hazard perception skills on the car, motorbike or bike simulators which they have. It also allows people to experience firsthand the dangers of driving and texting and driver fatigue. You can try the brake reaction timer to see how different driving in different environments and speed affect your braking distances. And you can also learn about tire safety there, because look, we always stress tires are so important. They're your only contact with the road. So there'll be a range of emergency services there on the day, and the Gardaí will be there to offer crime prevention advice, and they will also give a property marking demonstration. So we hope to see as many as possible there for what will be a great day out for all the family.
Yeah, and speaking of property marking.
Yeah, so we've a number of property marking events coming up. So the local community policing units will be operating a property marking machine at Harold's Yard, Glenfin Road, Balbuffet, today, the 16th, between 4:30pm and 8:30pm. And we will also be marking property at Homeland Lifford tomorrow, Wednesday, the 17th, between 10am and 4:30pm. These will be good opportunities to permanently mark your trailers, tools, bike, etc. What we do is we put your air code on it. The machine can be used on a number of surfaces, including wood, metal, carbon fiber and plastic. And it's used to in a pattern of dots to put your air code on it. So it's making it highly distinguishable and easy to return in the case of a theft, rendering it unattractive to thieves then. So that's the whole theory behind it.
And it gets it back to you. A lot of stuff's found, bikes and stuff. You see the appeals from time to time. A lot of stuff is found down the country often, in fact. And you can have a rough description of a jet ski or a trader or something like that there, but it gets back to you if you've got your air code on it.
It's a great system. So if anyone wants to come along, get your property marked, please ensure you bring your correct air code with you, because that's very important. And Sergeant Fergus McGrory, the Divisional Crime Prevention Officer, will also be at both events. If anyone wants to talk to him, he'll be happy to give you any advice you may need.
All right, more advice required. A listener, messaged in or called in and said, could you ask the Gardaí, please, if you are involved in a road traffic incident and you drive off, but you hand yourself in later, what, if any, charges do you get?
Well, look, it's a very broad question. There's all different types of traffic accidents, traffic collisions ranging from material damage as far as fatal collisions. So all circumstances are different. Not every road incident may necessarily need the Gardaí to come to the scene. You know, if it's a minor collision and
both parties
are happy between
out,
yourselves, the important thing is to exchange the details. Mm-hmm. The message is remain at scene, do what you're obliged to do. Don't be leaving the scene of an accident. Now, clearly for serious incidents or one where you suspect an offence has been disclosed, you should ring us. If you're involved in a road traffic collision, you must stop your vehicle and remain at the scene for a reasonable time. If anyone is injured or appears to need assistance, the driver of the vehicle must offer assistance. Look, accidents, get people help is number one. Mm-hmm. If vehicles are blocking the roadway or posing a danger to other road users, the roadway should be marked and the vehicle should then be removed as soon as possible. If you're asked by a Garda, you must give your name and address, the address where the vehicle is kept, the name and address of the vehicle owner, the vehicle's registration number, and evidence of insurance. And if there's no Garda at the scene, you must give this information to any person involved in the collision. Or if somebody owns property that you've damaged as well, provide it to them. And if requested, also to an independent witness. If you or another person is injured and there's no guard at the scene, the collision must be reported to the nearest guard station.
Now, of course, you can't give a pass, right? Because, I mean, there could be alcohol involved, there could be drugs involved, right? So you flee and come back 3 days later. If there were no consequences, do you know what I mean? It would be a basket case of a system. So if you fail to comply with the requirements you've outlined and your intent is to sort of escape civil or criminal liability, what are the examples of that?
Well, if someone is involved in collision, doesn't stay at the scene, that's what this question has asked.
Yeah.
Look, our advice, never leave the scene. If someone has, then it is always better to hand yourself in. Mm. Chances are we're going to track you down anyway, and it will always look better for you should the matter go to court if you have cooperated.
Yeah, because it says here, if you know someone has been injured or needs medical attention, or you know someone has been killed or are reckless as to the fact, you may be convicted and receive a fine of up to 20,000 euro or a prison term of up to 10 years. And that really is not actually taking account of the situation such. That's actually if you were in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay. What time is the Garda property check on in Lifford? Where and at what time? We did have that, don't we? Have,
yeah. I'll just make sure I give you.
It's today, is it? Or was
right
that tomorrow?
One. I think Lifford is tomorrow.
I feel like it's a race, and I'm going to win it tomorrow.
So, tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m.
Okay, and that is at Homeland.
Yeah, and the other one is today 4:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. At Harold's Yard on the Glenfin Road, Balbuffet.
Brilliant stuff, Claire. Thank you as always for calling up and getting that information out there. I do appreciate it. That's Claire Rafferty of Milford Garda Station. Garda Claire Rafferty, of course. And that was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 16th of July. It'll be available for you to listen back to on the podcast just after 12:30. But you can also watch it back on our YouTube and Facebook channels a little bit later on. It'll also feature on the Garda Síochána Facebook page there as well. So thank you very much for that. You can count your life in annual Errigal Arts Festivals. And we're 1 year older. Paul Brown, director at Errigal Arts Festival. And I think we look good.
We do,
don't
yes.
we? We've been doing this a while. We still look good.
Well,
don't
we? Yeah, definitely. It's been a great start. We started last weekend, so we a number of shows across the county from Churchill out of the Glebe Gallery to Kildaff with Murren Bradley. So it's been a lot of sold out shows. Great, fantastic Brilliant. Weekend to start off with. So yeah, moving kind of into the first of the 2 weeks of the rest of the festival now.
And, you know, it runs from the 13th to the 28th, so we're in the midst of it. But I imagine it's an all-year-round thing, really, in terms of organising and planning and keeping your eye on it. Like, even, you know, not far after the 28th of July, you probably have, you know, one eye on what's going to happen next year.
Yeah, well, we're working on next year's programme already, you know. So it's a huge endeavour and a big joint effort from a lot of different people. We've great staff at the festival. We've great partners in terms of the arts organisations across the county as well too, and great businesses that we work with as well too. So, as I say, it's a massive joint effort that takes a lot of time to plan. But, you know, when we get to this point in the year, it's great to see it all come to fruition, you know.
Yeah, and we should never take for granted what's lined up for us, because obviously it's about celebrating local musicians, national musicians, and there's always that international flavour to it as well. I'm going to direct listeners already to eaf.ie, because the struggle I would have, Paul, is there's so much on across such a wide area. There's something for everyone, and we don't want anyone to miss that. So eaf.ie, you can start planning your adventure between now and the 28th. So talk to us about some of the artists and shows you've got lined up.
Well, I mean, as you say, there's other events that have been happening throughout the year. There's residency projects that we run with Irish artists, and it is about giving a platform to local artists, and it's about, you know, matching those artists as well too with national and international artists. So as I'd said before, Mirren Bradley kicked off a festival the weekend with a sold out show in Kildaff. She's performing tonight in Letterkenny, another sold out show as part of a 3-day tour during the festival. So it's great to have, you know, she's such a celebrated, you know, Donegal artist now. But we also have a number of other international performers.
There's another gig in Blake's Bar tonight at 8 p.m.
Leaner Literature Canyon is
emphasise
exactly
that there's something on all the time.
So in Blake's tonight there's the session call there. Then we kind of move kind of through the rest of the week, and it gets busier as it goes on. On Thursdays, when we start circus camps and the circus shows out at Castle Finnan, the CPI Centre, we have a big top 10 set out there. The workshops in the morning for children are between 10 and 12 for ages 7 to 11. And then the circus shows are triple bill in the afternoon, running Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. And that is Tumble Circus, Frankie McGilligan, and Cabriuno, so it's a trouble ball of
I must mention, I can't believe it's not Ireland on Thursday
exactly.
night.
Yeah.
We had Paddy Cullivan in with us. That's in the Bala Buffet Bala Arts Centre. And after Paddy's interview, I understand there was a great rush of tickets. I'm not sure how many are left, but that show's Thursday night at 8 p.m. and is a fantastic show. We're blessed to have Paddy up here doing his work.
He's a regular at the festival with different shows, but he's a great... he's a very articulate performer. You know, some of the ideas he has, and some of the information he has, even about Irish history. I was kind of finding out when he was doing that interview.
I mean,
you know,
Paddy's got a background in obviously in comedy as well, and he's worked a lot with Oliver Callum.
Yeah,
and I find the both of them, like, say for instance, more with the current affairs stuff, and it doesn't matter what your politics are, but through comedy and entertainment, I find Oliver Callan hits the mark a lot better than some of our political correspondents, right?
Yeah.
And I also think in terms of talking about history and sort of challenging, you know, the history we accept on certain major things and what have you, and even to about having a relatively serious conversation about the prospect of a 32-county, you know, United Ireland, he finds a way to entertain you, but also makes you think, well, what would it look like?
Exactly. And I think that conversation about Ireland's future is really important. You know, Paddy talks about kind of flags and, you know, national anthems and things like that. And it is that thing about getting that, striking that balance about entertaining you, but also...
Because he has you thinking, you're arguing about whether it's which colour cheese and onion, but it's not
that.
He's being a bit sneaky.
But he is a hugely entertaining performer. Yeah. So that, again, that's on Thursday evening as well too. And then...
just in relation to the circus, the triple bill there at the Castlefin CPI Centre, that's, as you mentioned, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. The camps are sold out, did you say, at this point?
Some of the camps are busy, because we've had group bookings through that as well.
Brilliant.
Too. And if there are groups who want to book into it, we do offer discounts on that as well. So, you know, it's they're very popular, because it's a very, you know, it's a great way of getting kids out in the morning, you know. Get some active,
the Castlefin area as well.
I mean, that's a big part of what we've been wanting to do over the last couple of years, is really kind of start taking the festival shows out to places we haven't been. So, I mean, we can't be everywhere at once, you know, and we have limited resources to be able to program throughout, you know, different areas of county.
So next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's a 10 a.m. start, home with the Henry Girls.
Yep.
That's in the Mallon Presbyterian Church in Mallon, of course. So
yeah.
Different time frame, might suit different people. What's that about?
Well, that's actually sold out. That's sold out very early.
All three?
Well, all the actual, it's a residency week.
Wow.
That the Henry Gears do. People, okay. People from
come
and spend a week with the Henry Gears. And what they do is that the Henry Gears are teaching them about songwriting, making music, and then at the end of the week they get up and they perform with them at their concert at the Mallintown Hall.
Fantastic. Right, okay, come on, I'll let you pick the rest because I'm picking things that keep being sold out. So what are the highlights?
Well, there's plenty of other events there as well too. One of the concerts this weekend is Mohammed Saifkin and Gazelbaum, which is Mohammed's a Kurdish musician who's living in Leitrim now at the minute. He's been doing some amazing shows recently. He's supported Lancome at the Ivy Gardens recently. Gazelle Band, which is a duo of a Palestinian oud player, Reem Anbar, with Irish traditional music, Louis Breheny. And that's in the Regional Cultural Centre. That's going to be a fantastic double bill on Friday evening. We have a literary weekend in Rathmullen this weekend with the Journals, first ever Journals Fla. So there's three different journals from across Ireland have come together and programmed a number of different writers, including Lisa McInerney, Tom Morris, Angela Flannery. There's a couple of workshops on the Sunday. There's an event in Mary Maxey in Rathmullen in the evening on Saturday as well too.
Party in the Park's on
Party
Friday,
in the Park is on Friday. That's a new where we have a new partnership with the Donegal Youth Service. So we're
actually going to get the weather for it this year as well, which is important.
I don't look at the weather forecast this week.
If you find a dash cam footage of the sun, please send it in.
As somebody said to me, you know, on Saturday when the sun came out, they said, I haven't seen that in so long.
I actually don't think you can organise something as broad as this, especially with outside elements and focus on the weather, because it's one thing you have no control over.
It's so localised, you know what I mean?
It is kind so of localised.
Porn Letterkenny and then Bone Dry out in Manor Cunningham, you know. So
it really is crazy how we have these micro climates in this county.
So I mean those are things that are happening this weekend. Next week the circus shifts to Gidor down at Maharagallen, so that's the following week. This week it's in it's in Castle Finn. So there's a couple of different performers doing next
that's
week.
Part of the Wild Week, Wild Atlantic Weekend.
That's right, and you said, you mentioned the Henry Gears. Henry Gears concert again is at the end of next week as well, on Friday the 26th. We have a whole series of other workshops. We have a great VR workshop with an artist called Matthew Sharp. That's for ages 12 plus. That's next Wednesday, the 24th. That's free. That's in the Regional Cultural Centre. If anybody wants to sign up to that, they can contact Sharon at our office on outreach@ieaf.ie.
And the stuff a bit off the beaten track maybe for your average Joe. Karen Rann, Drawing with Altitude 2.
Yeah,
I presume that's in show, but it's something a little bit different. It's on Friday to Sunday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. It's free, but it's just some, you know, just it just shows how, you know, diverse the arts festival is.
Yeah, we want to try and make it as accessible as possible for everybody, and there's different tastes, and so there's the music program is very very. We've Ono Canavan, who won the RTE Radio Folk Awards this year. He's performed with Muireann na Gcaoilge. That's on Sunday, the 21st, in the Regional Cultural Centre. It's another great double bill there of Irish traditional music. And then towards the end of the festival, over the last weekend, we have a Malian musician called Baseku Kuyati performing in the RCC. But that is a day-long event. There's a record fair at the back of Blake's, which is free. That's happening during the afternoon on the 27th of July. And then, say, Baseku Kuyati's in the RCC. And after that, we have a late-night event, which is happening simultaneously in Blake's and the Cottage. The DJ Donald Dineen, people have been familiar with the TV show years ago, No Disco. He was involved with that, but he's currently got shows on a number of different channels, including RTE. But that's going to be in the Cottage. That's kind of late thing. It's happening from 10 p.m. onwards.
Yeah.
A couple of DJ kind of sets. So it's really kind of varied, you know, for...
Yeah, just back to the party in the park too, just like the way I would view, you know, maybe you've got young people, it's during the day, there's no booze, no drugs, no nothing like that, of course. It's from 12 noon to 6 p.m. Maybe your young ones watch Glastonbury on the telly, or they're hearing about their older siblings going to festivals or concerts or down the country. Do you know what I mean? And it is, yeah. You get that, a wee sense of that buzz too for your, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds that come and see live music. You know what I mean?
It inspires.
It can plant a seed, yeah. Either for future musicians or for future gig goers.
It really does. It really inspires. And that's kind of what the festival has been about since day one, really, is about providing that platform for local musicians coming through. Mm. You know, the Henry Girls have been part of the program since as long as I can remember. They're now an internationally recognised group, yeah, from Donegal. So anything that provides an opportunity for people to get creative, that's what we're trying to do. And Party of the Park, I think, is a great platform for that because the young people have ownership over it. They're involved in the planning, they're involved in the curation of it, mm-hmm, and they're involved in the delivery of it, and that's really, really important.
And
that's
they get why to plug their stuff into, exactly, an amp and stand on a stage that's used at festivals elsewhere, yeah, and rock out.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Anything else you want to mention, Paul? Again, eaf.ie. You can go and plan what you might choose to do. There's something that might interest you that's not going to be terribly far from you. It'll entertain the grown-ups, but also there's options there for the younger ones on the school holidays that want to do something a little bit different or engaging as well.
Yeah.
We have to be conscious that all young ones don't play sport. And often there can be a gap in what to do if you don't play football or you don't kayak.
Yeah,
as I say, the
circus camps are very active.
Yeah.
You know, they're not necessarily, they're not sport-based, but, you know, there's juggling and there's...
Just a different interest.
Yeah, it's just different. But, I mean, we're operating across quite a wide kind of, you know, geography in terms of where the shows are taking place. There's a fantastic evening in Tory Island. On Friday evening, actually, celebrating the local culture.
I still have to get out to Tory Island, actually. I'm kicking myself about
that. Well, that's a great opportunity. Yeah. It's local dancers. It's a song and the dance, but that's specific to Tory. That's happening
on
Friday.
Why didn't we
go
out to Tory Island, Caroline? Did someone else go then instead? No, we just didn't do it yet. I did ask you to make that happen. Will it happen this summer? No, maybe. I don't know. Anyway,
you might never come back, Greg. Maybe that's why.
It's fine. It's fine. Smart. They've got broadband, haven't they? I could just live there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just I haven't been there yet. Right. Okay. Sorry. I digress there, but that's sometimes you have to get things on the record to make it happen. More information, as I say, eaf.ie. Anything else, Paul? Sorry, that you wanted to add there.
Yeah. Well, I could talk all morning about this, but I say there's brochures in shops and cafes as well too. If somebody likes to have something physical to, mm-hmm, kind of see what's going, yep, on inside the brochures, there's a great day by day guide. It gives you times and the details of the show are actually within the brochure. A lot more detail again on the website, eaf.ie. People can book through there. And I would advise as well too, we are seeing a lot of shows starting to sell out. So, mm-hmm, if anybody wants to go on anything, just get on the website and get booking now.
Brilliant stuff as always, Paul. Listen, thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Greg.
That's Paul Brown there, director of the Errigal Arts Festival. We're in the midst of this year's one, and such is the nature of it already, with an eye out on what might be happening next year. Isn't that remarkable? It's a fantastic event. It gives us fantastic exposure to all manner of arts, supports locals, supports national, and then we get the best of international visiting the area as well. And I'd say some collaborations kick off from that, don't
they? Yeah. I mean, really interestingly, we had Boubacar Traore from Mali was here at the weekend. He's an 82-year-old Mali musician.
Oh, wow.
And it was really interesting.
What's his instrument?
He plays guitar. Right, okay. Blues guitar. So we had, like, you know, not young Murren Bladley from the Blues, oh, wow, of Balbafay, the Blues of Bamako. But one of his group was a calabash player, Jeremy Diarra, had never seen the ocean before.
Unbelievable.
So they had a day off yesterday and he wanted to get his feet in the ocean. So.
Unbelievable. I used to work in England and there was a girl from New Zealand and it started snowing. She'd never seen the snow before.
We just take it for granted.
But like she was out there, couldn't believe, yeah, that this white stuff was, yeah, falling from the sky. But it seems ridiculous to us, right?
Yeah. But so and that's the great thing about, you know, about Donegal is that we have international artists who come here and are just blown away by the place.
Well, why wouldn't you be?
Exactly. I mean, it's that thing about taking it for granted. But I kind of, you know, I think it's when other people kind of see it, when you see it through other people's eyes as well too. Mm. You know, it refreshes your appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, we were out in a boat there at Downing's on, was it Sunday? Was the good day. And you just head out and you're heading out towards effectively actually next stop Tory.
Yeah.
But just the way there's these cliffs, these beautiful cliffs either side of you. Can you literally see where that part of the country ends, and it isn't, well, that part of the country, no offence to Torrey, but it's next up Torrey, and these beautiful rock formations and little caves, and that's just one tiny little enclave, really, along our coast. It doesn't surprise me that people will be blown away when they come here,
because exactly.
We are just absolutely blessed.
Yeah.
Right, Paul, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for your time. That's Paul Brand, director of the Errigal Arts Festival. For more info, get to eaf.ie, or if you are out and about, it is nice, as Paul mentioned, to pick up a brochure. There it is there for those of you who are watching. Pick it up and you can have a read through and see if anything tickles your fancy there.